flown, I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
Climb aboard a butterfly and take off on the breeze. Let your worries flutter by and do the things you please. In the land where dollar bills are falling off the trees, on a dreamer's holiday. Every day for breakfast, there's a dish of scrambled stars. And for luncheon, you'll be munching rainbow candy bars. You'll be living a la mode on Jupiter or Mars, on a dreamer's holiday. Make it a long vacation. Time there is plenty of. You need no reservation. Just bring along the one you love. Help yourself to happiness and sprinkle it with mirth. Close your eyes and concentrate and dream for all you're worth. You will feel terrific when you get back down to earth from a dreamer's holiday. Make it a long vacation. Time there is plenty of. You need no reservation. Just bring along the one you love. Help yourself to happiness and sprinkle it with mirth. Close your eyes and concentrate and dream for all you're worth. You will feel terrific when you get back down to earth from a dreamer's holiday.
From a happy dreamer's holiday.
This is Bruce Kaplan, welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. Hope you're all having a great weekend. Tonight we have some fabulous 1940s music for you and two of the greatest mysteries from the golden era of radio. If you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to write to Bruce@RadioMasterpieces.com and I'll be sure and answer your questions. Thank you so much for tuning in. And now let's enjoy our great programming.
No doubt the telephone is an ingenious invention, but as far as I know, no one as yet has been able to commit murder over it, although many people have wanted to. Still, there are worse things you can get on the phone than the wrong number, especially if you happen to call the voice on the wire. On a long, narrow island, just off the shore of one of our larger lakes, Mrs. Geraldine Reeves, widow of the late composer David Reeves, lives alone in a gaunt, gray, shingled house. Only a few hundred yards away are the charred remains of her former home, where David was burned to death in a fire just 2 years ago. It's after dinner now, and as the clock in the hall strikes 8.
You've got to get hold of yourself, Geraldine.
I can't help it, Doctor. You see, it starts every night, about this time.
What starts?
The music. David's last composition. I hear it being played on a piano. And the notes seem to come from the old house, the house where David died in the fire.
Well, perhaps someone is playing that piece on the piano. Someone on the island.
No. No, there's only one other house out here, and those people are away. And the dog. The dog keeps howling all night long.
What dog?
I don't know. There's no dog on the island, but David and I did have a dog. You remember? He stayed with David the night of the fire. He died with him because David was too ill to get out of bed. There! There it is again!
Amazing. That's a real dog. Somewhere on this island.
Oh! Do you think so?
Why, of course. Probably some stray got across the bridge or swam over from the shore.
Well, you see, excuse me, Doctor.
Sir.
Hello?
Hello. Mrs. Geraldine Reeves.
Yes, speaking. Who is this?
Listen.
Good heavens!
You have 4 hours to live, Mrs. Reeves. 4 hours to live.
What? What did you say? Hello! Hello!
What's the matter, Geraldine?
The music. The same music. I heard it again.
What?
Over the phone. Someone's playing it on the piano.
It must be some sort of a prank.
No. A man spoke to me. He said I have 4 hours to live.
4 hours to... Here. Let me have that phone.
No. It's no use. He's rung off.
Well, we might be able to trace the call. Hello. Operator. Operator.
He's trying to kill me.
Hello, operator. Operator.
What's wrong, Doctor?
I'm afraid the wires have been cut. We'd better get into my car and drive into town right away.
Yes, it isn't safe for me to stay here another minute.
Can't understand it. The motor won't turn over. Somebody must have meddled with this car while we were in the house.
Well, try my car, Doctor.
I think perhaps I'd better. Is it in the garage?
Yes, I'll... Great heavens, it's gone. The garage is empty. The car's been stolen.
Now, let's not lose our heads, Geraldine. We're not completely cut off yet. We can't use a car. We can still walk.
But it's almost a mile to the bridge, and the road is so dark down along the water.
It won't be too dark with a flashlight. We can go down through the woods to the edge of the water and walk along the shore.
Oh, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
I just remembered. David's brother's driving out here tonight.
Harvey?
Yes, and his wife, Laura. They said they'd be here by 8:30, and if we wait for them, they can take us back in their car. What do you think, Doctor?
That's safer than trying to make it alone. If we wait right here, perhaps we can watch the bridge and see them coming. Heaven's sake, Geraldine. What are you staring at?
The bridge, Doctor. The bridge, look! This end of it's been washed out! Oh, Doctor, this is crazy, searching for a telephone wire in back of the house. If we're seen out here, there's no telling what might happen.
Please, Geraldine. We've got to find out where that wire was cut and splice it together again. It's our only chance of reaching the police.
But it's almost 9:00. We've wasted an hour already. If I'm not out of here by 12...
Stop it, Geraldine. Stop it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to... What's that?
It's the dog again. That confounded dog is tied up around here somewhere.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant the light on the road. There's a strange light on the road.
The headlight of a car. Coming this way.
A car?
Yes. Quick. Behind the house and stay out of sight. It's turning into the driveway.
How could a car have come out onto the island with that bridge up?
Shh. They're getting out.
Oh! Why, it's Harvey and Laura.
Good heavens.
Oh! Harvey!
Hello!
Harvey! Harvey,
Pete, say. Jerry, what are you doing? Playing hide-and-seek with us back there?
Oh, Harvey, I'm so glad you came.
Jerry, what's the matter?
Oh, everything. But first you've got to tell us how you got here.
Why, we just drove over the bridge and on up the road the way we always do.
But how could you drive over the bridge? It's been washed out.
What?
Well, I saw it with my own eyes, and Dr. Pricing saw it too, didn't you, Doctor?
I certainly did.
Oh, you must be mistaken. We drove over the bridge not more than 2 minutes ago.
Are you sure you haven't been on the island longer than that?
Well, I'm positive. Why?
Well, some very strange things have been happening here tonight. Geraldine's life was threatened, her car stolen, and mine tampered with.
What?
What are you talking about?
Look, I'll show you.
The starter in my car won't even turn the motor over. Here. Hi, George. It's working now.
Say, what is this, Jerry? You and the docs have been taking a few pills? Did you drink too much wine at dinner?
Oh, no, no. Everything he said is true. Even the telephone wires have been... I must be going out of my mind. That is my telephone ringing, isn't it?
Yes, of course. Aren't you going to answer it?
I'm almost afraid to. Come with me, Harvey, will you, while I do?
Sure.
Hello?
Hello. Mrs. Reeves.
Yes?
Listen. It's 9 o'clock, Mrs. Reeves. You have 3 hours to live.
This endless waiting. Why don't the police come?
Easy now, Jerry. They'll be here. You only phoned them a few minutes ago.
Something can happen before they get here.
I have a gun ready, just in case anything should happen. And I won't hesitate to use it.
You have a gun, Doctor?
Why, yes. Geraldine gave it to me before you arrived.
Oh.
What's the matter? You trust me with a gun, don't you?
Why, of course.
Laura, what is it?
A face at the window. I just saw a face at the window.
Laura, please, you're letting your imagination run away with you.
No, I saw it right there. The face of a dead man.
Quick, Harvey, out the back way.
Right.
No, please don't leave us.
We'll be right outside the window.
Jerry, I'm afraid.
Well, there's nothing we can do, Laura. They won't be far away.
But I don't trust Dr. Prizing. You never should have given him that gun.
Why not?
Because I think he's a murderer.
Oh!
Yes. Don't you remember how he acted at the trial? When you were accused of starting the fire that killed David, he testified against you time and again.
Subtly.
To make them think you did it. Because he started that fire himself.
What on earth are you saying?
I'm telling you the truth. During the trial, he swore that he wasn't on the island the night of the fire. But he was. And I can prove it.
How?
By this cigarette case of his. Here, look at it. You see how it charred and melted on the side where his initials were? He must have left it in the fire that night, by mistake.
But he couldn't have. The police searched everything the next morning. They would have found it in the ashes.
Not if it wasn't there. He came back for it that same night, as soon as he missed it, and dragged it out of the fire. He knew it would incriminate him if it were found in his possession, so he threw it into the lake as he drove home over the bridge. And that's where we found it, in the water, the last time we were out here.
Oh, Laura, I hope you're wrong.
So do I. But if I'm right, we're all in for...
Laura! The light! Somebody turn off the light!
Laura! Laura, where are you?
Carry the door! Carry through the door! It's the face I saw!
Laura! Laura!
It was meant to be me, Harvey. Whoever came through that door intended to kill me.
Jerry, please. How is Laura, Doctor?
I'm afraid I can't do anything for her, Harvey. She's passed on.
Oh! Laura. Laura, darling.
You'd better not touch the body, Harvey.
Oh, leave me alone. You've done enough already, Dr. Prizing.
I beg your pardon?
You'll have a lot of explaining to do when the police arrive, Doctor. I'll tell them how you ran away from me out there before the lights went out, and how you were here in this room when they went on again.
Harvey, don't say things you'll regret later on.
Just a moment. Where is the cigarette case Laura had in her hand when the lights went out?
What cigarette case?
You know the one I mean, Dr. Prizing. The gold one that was charred in the fire.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
I have. And if you're as innocent as you claim to be, you won't mind being searched.
Not at all. Go right ahead.
I will.
Whom are you calling, Geraldine?
The police. Can't understand why they haven't arrived yet. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Maybe something's happened to them on the way. Maybe their car broke down.
Their car, too?
Huh?
Nothing. Only it seems as if your car is the only one that works when you want it to.
Headquarters?
Oh, Sergeant. Sergeant, I can't understand why your men aren't here yet. A murder's been committed.
Do you think you've been calling the police department? this time, Mrs. Reeves.
David's music.
It's 10 o'clock, Mrs. Reeves. You have 2 more hours.
Jerry, are you in your room?
Yes, Harvey. What is it?
This is our chance, Jerry. We've got to run away from Dr. Prising now, while we're alone.
Yes, of course, Harvey, but how will we go?
In my car. It's just... Wait a minute. Listen.
What is it?
Sounds like footsteps in the living room. Prising must be in there.
No, I saw him go outside. He said he wanted to see if he could find the dog.
There's someone in there. I'm going to find out who it is.
Be careful, Harvey. He may be standing just outside the door.
Yeah. All right. You stay behind me.
Is anybody there? Is anybody in the living room?
No. There doesn't seem to be.
Me, Harvey.
Oh.
Well, Dr. Prising. You've been standing at this door with your ear to the keyhole?
No. Not exactly.
I thought you were supposed to be outside, looking for that dog.
I was outside. For a while. But I saw someone moving around in here, so I came back. When I got here, your wife's body was gone.
What?
Gone? Laura's body gone?
I assume that it's gone. It's not where it was, on the floor.
But how could... Look here, Prising. You were alone in this room.
And so were you. After I left. Wasn't it, Geraldine?
Well... Yes, now that I think back, he was.
Certainly. What's more, Geraldine saw me leave the house. And when I left, the body was still here. After that, I don't know what happened.
What are you driving at?
Draw your own conclusions. I've drawn mine.
Why, you...
Harvey, stop it! Stop it!
I'm sorry, Jerry. I just...
The dog again.
Yeah. I can't understand why you didn't find that dog, Dr. Prising. He must be right out there where the old house used to be.
But if you think you can find him, why don't you go? Good heavens, man.
What?
Look, there's a fire burning out there.
On the grounds of the old house.
Prising, you started that fire yourself, and you're burning Laura's body, and it's a cover up your crime.
Harvey, where are you going?
I'm going to the fire, Jerry. I've got to stop it. I've got to put it out.
I'm going to lose my mind if someone doesn't stop these awful things from happening. Won't anybody help us?
Easy, Geraldine. The man who hopes to kill you was trying to break you down first. It's part of his plan. Here. Take a sip of this brandy. It'll help you.
All right, thank you, Doctor.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing, really. I just don't care for any brandy just now.
What's wrong with it?
Well, I didn't say anything was wrong with it. I just don't...
You fool. You think I'm trying to poison you?
I don't know what to think.
Here. Give me that brandy. I'll drink it myself. There. Leave me now?
I don't believe anyone.
Listen to me, Geraldine. I'm the best friend you have in the world right now. You've got to understand that. Because there isn't much more time. We've got to get away from Harvey while he's still out there.
What do you mean?
Can't you see? He's trying to kill you.
That's a lie.
It isn't, Geraldine. Harvey's the one that's lied to us. He and Laura both. They intended to kill you when the lights went out. But in the darkness, Harvey made a fatal mistake. He thought it was you he was strangling, not Laura.
I won't believe
it. It's the truth. They never drove across that bridge at 9 o'clock tonight. They've been here on the island all evening.
How do you know?
Because we saw that bridge with our own eyes. And I saw it again just 5 minutes ago. It's still down.
You're lying.
Come out and see it for yourself.
You're just trying to get me out of this house.
Stop being such a fool. Here. Take this gun. If it'll give you any security, take it. And hold it in my back while we're out there. But for heaven's sakes, let's get away from Harvey while there's still a chance.
All right. Give me the gun.
Here.
Now you keep in front of me all the time. And I'm warning you. If you make one false move, I'll kill you in cold blood.
see. Harvey and Laura were lying to us. The bridge is still down.
You're right. They couldn't have come across that bridge.
Of course not. The only trouble is, we can't get back over it now either.
We've got to get away, Doctor, now, before we're seen.
What about that house at the other end of the island?
People are away.
But they might have a boat.
Yes, of course they do have a boat. We can row to the mainland. Come on, quick.
All right.
I have a feeling we're being followed.
It's your imagination. Hurry, Geraldine. Hurry.
We are being followed, Doctor. But behind us, there's a man with a dog.
Just like the dog you owned. The one that died in the fire.
Yes. And the man. It's Dave.
We've lost them. Lost them in the woods.
They can't be far behind.
Doesn't matter now. The house is just ahead.
But the boat, Doctor. The boat's not at the landing.
It must be.
Well, it isn't. Can't you see it isn't?
Perhaps it's around and back.
No, that side of the house faces the road.
Then we'll have to break in, hide here until morning. Our best chance is to be inside, where we can protect ourselves. After all, you still have a gun.
But I hardly know how to use it.
Then give it to me.
No.
You still don't trust me, do you?
I don't know, Doctor. But I'm the one who's been threatened, so I really should have the gun.
Very well. Wait here. I'll break through the window and come around on the inside.
Did you hurt yourself?
No. I'm all right. Just wait there for me and I'll unlock the door.
Oh, hurry, Doctor. Please, hurry. They're on our trail again.
Come inside, Geraldine. Quickly. And lock the door behind you.
What's wrong, Doctor?
Nothing's wrong. We're in luck. There's a phone here. If it hasn't been disconnected. Hello. Hello, operator.
This isn't the operator. Tell Mrs. Reeves it's 11 o'clock. She has one more hour to live.
I won't leave this house. I'm not going to run away any longer. If they're going to kill me, let them come here and do it. Only for heaven's sake, why don't they do it right away? Why don't they come here and get it over with instead of waiting until 12 o'clock?
Geraldine, please.
Well, I can't stand it any longer. I'd rather die than go through any more of this torture. I just...
Sit down for a moment. Relax. And try to ease your mind.
Oh, for... Surprising. What are you doing?
Playing the piano. I thought it might relax you.
What's that melody? You! You're the one I hear at night playing David's music. Playing it right here in this house.
Yes, Geraldine. I've rented this house to protect you from David and the dog.
Well, stop it! Stop playing that piece! Stop it! Now, stay where you are. Stay.
Don't be afraid. I won't harm you. As long as you have that gun. But the gun won't stop David.
David's dead.
Is he? Listen. He's right outside the door. And in a moment, he'll be here to take you with him.
No!
Yes, Geraldine. I've come back to see you, in spite of everything you've done.
Stop!
You killed me, didn't you, darling? You started that fire because you knew I was too much of an invalid to get out of bed.
Stay where you are!
You hated me, Geraldine.
Stop!
No. Your bullets can't harm me now. Nothing you can do can harm me. Because I'm dead and you're still alive.
David. David, forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing that night. Please, please, believe me. I was sorry as soon as I started that fire, but it was too late then. I couldn't put it out. I couldn't.
How dare you ask my forgiveness when you're still lying?
But I'm not lying. I'm not. I told you everything.
Why didn't you tell the police?
Because I wanted to live.
You'll confess everything now?
Yes, David. Yes, I will. If you'll only leave me alone, please. Please.
It was my cigarette case Laura found in the water. I'd thrown it over the bridge that same night after I took it out of the fire.
Well, I guess that's all we need, Harvey. Full confession with two witnesses.
Harvey!
Yes, Geraldine. I do look like my brother in this dim light. And the dog Laura's holding outside is the same breed as the one you own.
Laura! Laura! Did you say Laura was alive?
Very much so, Geraldine.
It wasn't hard for me to pretend being dead. With the doctor keeping you away from my body. Then you were all in this together. You forced this confession out of me.
Yes, Geraldine. The blank cartridges Dr. Pricing slipped into that gun of yours really turned the trick. Oh, excuse me. Hello? Oh, hello, Inspector. Yes, it's all right now. You can hook the wires up again. She's told us the truth. And you'd better get to work on that bridge right away. It's still down.
Sue's the band. My, wasn't the music grand?
Chowder parties down by the seashore every 4th of July. Test your memory, my dearie.
Do you recall when Henry Ford couldn't even fix a running board under a Chandler 6?
Dearie, life was cheery in the good old days gone by.
Do you remember?
Uh-huh.
If you remember.
Wonderful.
Well, dearie, you're much older than I.
What? Hey, wait a minute, honey. I just got a long memory, that's all.
Dearie, do you remember when we
stayed up all night to get Pittsburgh on a crystal set?
Keystone movies, Coogan and Chaplin, made you laugh and then cry.
Test your memory, my dearie. Do you recall when Orville Wright flew at Kitty Hawk? But take it from me, I would rather walk.
Dearie, life was cheery in the good old days gone by.
Do you remember?
Uh-huh.
If you remember.
Well?
Well, dearie, you're much older than I.
I'll kill you.
Harry Lauder's act.
My, wasn't the palace packed.
Jenny Lind, presented by Barnum, sang her sweet lullaby.
Test your memory, my dearie.
Chicago all in flames, sure caused a terrific row.
They blamed it on Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Dearie, life was cheery in the good old days gone by. Do you remember? Well, if you remember, then you're a whole lot older than, quite a bit older than, you're older than I.
Valley 103.1.
And now, the Whistler's strange story. The Cistern.
There was murder on Ronnie Hartfield's mind long before he discovered the cistern in Round Valley. But the discovery, more than anything else, made him decide to do it. The groundwork had been laid, of course. He was a partner with old Hank Murphy in the gold-bearing ledge Hank had discovered on the shoulder of Sharp's Peak. $1 million in rich ore. And Ronnie owned 10% of it. That wasn't bad for a young metallurgist fresh out of college. But Ronnie wasn't the kind to think of his own 10%. No, his mind was on the other 90. And the inheritance clause in the partnership agreement. There had to be other things, of course, like the casual conversation he had one afternoon with Sheriff Dawson as they sat on the porch of the sheriff's office.
Looking across the lake. But that ain't what makes the law enforcement out here so much tougher than in the city. What's the first job in a murder case, for example? Find the body.
Body?
Yeah. Look at that lake. Look at that, Ronnie.
What?
The sun on that water.
If I could move that lake to the coast, I could sell it for $1 million.
Come around sometime during a rainstorm and I'll close the deal for 10 cents.
Why?
Well, she ain't a natural lake, you know. But we've had to move this shack twice now when the water was right up the floor level. She ain't always as pretty as she looks now, blue and calm and shiny.
I don't know. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, you'll be a mountaineer yet, Ronnie. What was I saying a while back?
You were talking about law enforcement.
Oh, yeah. It was this business of bodies. You can say all you want to about city police, but let me tell you, they ain't in it with a county sheriff when it comes to a murder case.
No.
You see, before you do anything else, you gotta find the body, gotta prove the guy's dead.
No.
That's one thing in the city, but it's something else in a place like this.
No, what do you mean?
Or down in Arizona, for instance, where a man's got 20,000 square miles of country to hide the body in.
I see.
Funny thing, though, how bodies have a way of turning up. That guy in Arizona I was telling you about.
Yeah?
8 years it took us, knowing all the time he done it.
You found it, huh?
Yeah. The wind uncovered it in a dry gulch 10 miles from town. Dry air has a way of preserving things.
You could identify it?
Sure, we hung him.
But if it hadn't been for that wind...
Well, it would have been something else. Sometimes it don't pay to go looking for it. If you just lean back and relax, it'll work itself out. Sometimes.
Well, Ronnie, it's odd that the sheriff should have hit upon the subject of bodies. And it's a good thing he couldn't read your mind, because everything he said made you think of the cistern in Round Valley, with the bare traces of a ruined cabin more than 100 years old nearby. You'd been exhausted the day you found it, after following a 4-point buck down the length of the ridge above and losing him there in the willows. Then, as you fought your way through the brush, your foot suddenly rang hollowly on the cover of the cistern. And there it was, deep and dark, completely lost in the tangled mass of trees. No desert wind there, was there, Ronnie? Once you dropped Hank into the cistern, he'd be there. For keeps.
Ronnie? Ronnie? Huh? Oh, sorry.
You know what, Hank? I think Ronnie's in love.
Well, what's the matter?
I just been talking to you for 5 minutes, that's all.
I was thinking, I guess.
Just like you, Hank. Comes into my store to buy groceries and goes to sleep by the stove.
He's thinking about that hole in the ground.
What?
What's the matter? Marge knows all about the mine.
Oh, yeah.
You picked yourself a pretty good partner, Ronnie, if that ledge is as good as Hank said it is.
Even Stephen. I got myself a good metallurgist, too. What with a stamping mill to be built and all, this ain't no pick and shovel project, you know.
Gonna take money.
Oh, don't worry about that. We got that all settled, ain't we, Ronnie? Soon as Mr. Coulter sees the plans Ronnie made up.
Who's Mr. Coulter?
Old fella down the city, old friend of mine. I'm going down below to see him next week.
Alone?
Yeah. Ronnie thinks he better stay around and look after things.
Uh-huh.
What's the matter?
Don't know about Hank alone in the city with all them saloons.
Oh, go on, Marge.
Well, last time Hank went down for a weekend, nobody saw hide nor hair of him for 6 months. If we didn't know him better, we would have thought he was dead. Oh, my. Better keep a close tab on him, Ronnie.
You're right. I'd better.
You're pretty close to the brink, aren't you, Ronnie? The cistern was in your mind then, too. And it keeps returning more and more frequently until it excludes almost everything else. Particularly at night, when there's no sound but the crickets outside. And you can lie awake and think of the ledge. $1 million or more in gold ore, almost on the surface. A tenth of it yours, according to the agreement. Unless, of course, something should happen to Hank. It would be all yours then, wouldn't it, Ronnie? $1 million. And that kind of thinking always leads to the cistern in the willow thicket at Round Valley. There's no possible way they could ever discover it, is there? Finally, on the night before Hank is scheduled to leave, you make up your mind.
Hank!
Yeah?
I just ran onto something.
What?
I want you to come with me.
Whoa. What are you talking about?
I've been up to Round Valley all day.
Whoa. What were you doing up in that godforsaken place?
I got a new outcrop, Hank. I'm sure of it.
What? In Round Valley? Why, there's no gold.
But there is. You've got to see it before you go down to the city.
Whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute. This ain't a joke, is
it? I tell you, there's gold up there. I'm serious. Look, it'll only take us about 2 hours.
Tonight? Why, it's dark already.
Listen, will you believe me? This can't wait.
Okay, Ronnie, let's go. Hold the light up, Ronnie. I can't see where I'm going.
It's not much farther.
Why didn't we come up the other ridge? I don't see no sense in cutting across this infernal willow thicket. Wait up, will you?
Over this way.
Where are you?
Can't you see the light?
No. Went out or something. Ouch. Oh, these darn trees. I can't see a thing, Ronnie. Oh, doggone it. Where's the light, Ronnie? I can't keep my feet in this brush. Ronnie. Where are you? Ronnie! Ronnie!
Here I am, Hank.
Oh, you... you scared me.
Here's the light, Hank.
Huh? Thanks. Oh!
Now, the cistern.
Yes, Ronnie, it took a combination of things to put the murder of Hank Murphy in your mind. The ledge on Sharp's Peak and $1 million in raw gold. The sheriff with his idle discussion on the importance of finding the corpus delicti. Marge's contribution about your partner's habit of disappearing for months at a stretch. But most of all, it was the cistern in the willows of Round Valley. The hiding place 1,000 men could hunt for without ever coming close. That was the most important thing, wasn't it, Ronnie? And it's the thing that makes you feel absolutely secure now, on the morning after you kill him, as you walk into Marge's general store.
Morning, Ronnie.
Hello, Marge. Now, wait a minute. If you're going to ask me how I am, the answer is awful.
What's the matter?
Coffee, no coffee. Forgot to pick it up last night.
Yeah, I missed you.
Missed me?
Mostly Hank. He's picked up his groceries on Tuesdays and Fridays for as long as I've been here. Well, what'll it be, a pound?
Yeah, that'll do fine.
Funny thing about Hank, he's an old galoot in lots of ways, but part of him is regular as clockwork.
His drinking arm for one thing.
Yeah, and getting his grub for another. Last night, when he didn't show up, I said to myself, there's something wrong somewhere. You say you ain't had breakfast yet?
No.
Hank's probably cussing you out for fear, waiting for his coffee at this hour. Drunk or sober, he gets his breakfast at 7 o'clock.
What do you mean?
Ain't he waiting up in the cabin?
No, he's gone.
Huh?
Yeah, he left for town this morning.
Why, he wouldn't do that.
Huh? What?
Go off like that without... Tell me, what time did he leave?
I don't know. When I woke up, he was gone.
Well, that's a funny one. He swore on a stack of Bibles he'd take a package down to my niece in Sacramento.
Oh, he had a few drinks. Probably forgot.
Well, where'd he get the liquor?
Why, I suppose he had it in the house.
He didn't have a drop in the house. He told me yesterday when he came in here and tried to buy some. We were out, too. Far as I know, there wasn't a drop in town and none coming till Monday.
Huh.
Say, how'd he get out of town?
The 6 o'clock bus, I guess.
You know, I can't help feeling there's something fishy somewhere.
Huh? Why?
Well, there wasn't no 6 o'clock bus this morning. It's still at Kramer's bar with a broken axle. Say.
What?
You don't suppose old Hank sprouted himself a pair of wings, do you?
I wouldn't put it past him.
You can't beat that old varmint. I told you keeping a tab on him was no sin. It's funny, though, ain't it?
What?
About that package for my niece. Hank never done a thing like that, long as I can remember. Forgetting that away. You know, that's not like Hank at all.
Well, Ronnie, you're not whistling now as you cross the street to the bank. You keep telling yourself that Marge is an old busybody, that the rest of the town will chuckle over Hank's unceremonious departure. There's a forced self-assurance about you as you walk up to Mr. Jenkins at the teller's window.
Hello, Mr. Jenkins.
Hi, Ronnie. What can I do for you this morning?
Ah, how about $20?
Okay.
All right. There you are.
10, 15, and 5 is 20. Say, what about Hank,
huh?
And he's supposed to leave today?
Oh, he left this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
That's funny.
What's the matter?
What do you use for money?
Why, he had the money.
No, he didn't. He came in here yesterday afternoon after 3 and told me he didn't have a dime. Wanted me to open up so he could draw $200 for the trip.
Well, what do you know about that?
He didn't pick it up either.
Pick it up?
I got it from him just before closing and left it at the express office. Oh, now, ain't that something? He couldn't have gone down without money.
Maybe that's why he borrowed $100 from me.
Huh?
That's why I came in this morning. He took all I had.
Now, wait a minute, Ronnie. Are you kidding me?
No, why?
Hank never borrowed a dime in his life. It's kind of a religion with him.
Oh, I suppose since I'm his partner...
No, not Hank.
Well... He didn't have much choice leaving this morning.
I told him the money'd be waiting at the express office. Ain't that one for the book. Never heard tell of Hank Barn. Just not like him, that's all.
You're beginning to thank your lucky stars for the cistern, aren't you, Ronnie? During the next few days, the town's curiosity about Hank doesn't die down. It changes first into wonderment, then into genuine worry. There's a feeling in the air that something is wrong. It hangs over the town like a cloud. And as the days go by, you begin to notice the conversation suddenly hushed as you approach, the penetrating, curious glances, feeling of terrible doubt. Then, just a week after Hank's disappearance, you come home to the cabin to find the sheriff waiting for you.
Oh? Hello, Ronnie.
Oh, hello, Sheriff. What do you want?
Just dropped by to say hello. Getting a mite worried about Hank.
Yeah, so am I.
Are you?
What do you mean?
Nothing. Curious, ain't it, how a man can get out of town without transportation or money?
He had money.
Maybe. And maybe he could have got liquored up without liquor, too.
I don't know where he got that.
Kinda jumpy, ain't you?
Well, I'm getting sick of this talk. All this insinuation behind my back.
Nobody's insinuating, Ronnie. We're just a mite worried, that's all.
I tell you, he's probably in San Francisco right now.
That's just it. He ain't. Just picked up this wire from the telegraph office. Take a look.
Huh? Been expecting Murphy for a week. Where is he? Colder. Whoa. He's probably in some bar down there.
No.
What do you mean? He used to disappear for months at a time.
You just don't know Hank. If there's money mixed up in it anywhere, there ain't a sober man in the country.
You're crazy. Hank was a drunk and you know it.
Was?
I mean, he is.
Hmm. Ain't it funny that you and I were talking about murder cases just the other day?
Now, listen, here I am.
Better see who it is.
Hank Murphy live here?
Yeah.
They told me down at the hotel that the sheriff was up.
What do you want?
Send him in, Ronnie.
Come on in.
You the sheriff?
Yeah, what is it?
I just happened to say something down at the hotel tonight, and they told me you might be interested. I was driving through here the other morning on my way to Sacramento.
What morning?
Friday.
Okay.
I picked up a guy on the road about 6 o'clock.
What did he look like? Did he have on a...
Just a minute, Ronnie. Tell us what he looked like, son.
Oh, I'd say about 55. Kind of bald up here with gray hair and a mustache. I think he was kind of drunk. Said the bus wasn't running.
You have a suitcase?
Yeah, yeah. And I think he was wearing a black suit.
I see. 6 o'clock last Friday morning, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I took him down the road a ways. Let him off at the Sacramento Highway. Satisfied, Sheriff?
Might be. Like I was telling you, Ronnie, sometimes it don't pay to get all worked up over these things. They have a way of solving themselves. Sometimes. Well, I better be getting home. Looks like we're in for a storm.
You have a lot of time to think during the next few days, haven't you, Ronnie? With the storm pounding around your ears, forcing you to keep close to the cabin. The nervous feeling inside is almost gone now, thanks to that boy who just happened to pick up an old hitchhiker at the right moment. That was a lucky break, wasn't it? Most of the townspeople are satisfied now that Hank is off somewhere on another spree, and you finally feel it's time to call again on Mr. Jenkins at the bank.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Jenkins, I'm beginning to wonder about Hank. It's been more than a week now.
Yeah, it is funny, him hitchhiking out of town that way. Listen to that. Bet we've had 10 inches of rain in this storm. Lake level's up 12 feet. Wouldn't surprise me if the sheriff had to move his office again. And now, let's see, you wanted to look over the agreement between you and Hank.
Yes, you see, there's a lot to be done before winter sets in. We ought to settle that business with Mr. Calder, get our materials up to the site.
And you're wondering if you can go ahead.
Yeah. Mm.
Looks as if Hank's in the driver's seat. Long as he's alive, anyway. Of course, in case he's dead, you'll take
over. I didn't mean that. All I meant was we're losing a lot of fuel.
Sure. No, you didn't mean that. Well, I guess you got to wait till Hank shows up, Ronnie. And put this way now. Getting kind of tired looking at it. Sheriff was just in an hour ago asking the same question.
What?
Yeah. He wanted to know about the 10% and the 90% and who got what, when, who died.
He got no right to stick his nose in my business.
Funny about the sheriff. Seems to think this is his business now. Maybe you better go see him.
That's a good idea.
Well, Ronnie, kinda wet for you to be running around, ain't it?
That doesn't seem to bother you, does it, Sheriff?
That lake's beginning to bother me, I'll tell you. Look at her down there, 20 feet away.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Well, sit down on the porch here and tell me what's eating you.
Let's go inside.
Nothing doing. I'm going to keep an eye on that lake. Now, what's the matter?
When are you going to admit you're wrong?
About Hank?
Yes.
Well, I'll likely admit I'm wrong on the day that Hank walks up to this porch like he used to and says, "Howdy, Sheriff, have a cigar." Trouble is, that ain't never going to happen. So I reckon I ain't never going to admit I'm wrong. That answer your question?
He left town. Didn't that kid satisfy you?
No. Nope. Could have been someone else.
Who?
Don't know. Too bad no one had a picture, Hank.
Don't you see what you're doing with your stupid guessing? They all think I killed him.
Well,
what?
They're right, ain't they?
They're wrong, I tell you. He was gone when I
woke. Wait a minute, Ronnie. Hank was nothing more than a hunk of clockwork. He never went off his schedule. You just didn't know him well enough. That's why I know you killed him, Ronnie. I know why, and I think I know how. But just like I told you, when it comes to finding a body, a county sheriff has a job on his hands. And, of course, we can't do nothing till we find the body.
I tell you, you've got no right to
talk. Take it easy, son.
Now, wait a minute. If you're trying to bluff me, it won't work.
I ain't bluffing, Ronnie. You see, all the time you and Hank were supposed to be inside your house having a few drinks before he took off, the house was empty, wasn't it? Because you happened to be off somewheres killing him at the time. I happen to know, because I dropped by at 10 o'clock to deliver Marge's package. Don't worry, though. I can't do nothing until I find the body, and like I told you, that takes time.
Oh, no.
8 years that time in Arizona, but we got him the day after that windstorm. County sheriffs just got to have patience, you know. Matter, Ronnie?
Nothing.
You white as a sheet. What you looking at?
It's nothing, I tell you.
Oh, you sick?
It's all right. Oh, it's all wrong. Something's haywire somewhere.
What are you staring at?
Good Lord.
Quiet.
Do you see it too?
The water. The edge of the lake. It's Hank's body.
Oh, it's not. It can't be.
Come on, let's take a look.
No, I can't.
I said, come on. Well, Ronnie?
It is Hank.
It's too much, isn't it, Ronnie? Too much after the tension of the past week to look down at Hank's body floating at the edge of the lake right under the rail of the sheriff's porch. Everything breaks loose at once. You're jabbering like an idiot, telling the sheriff it's impossible.
Oh, don't lie to me. You found him, didn't you? You found him and brought him here. It was a plot, wasn't it?
Wait a minute, Ronnie.
But why did you have to drag it out? You knew it all the time. You just wanted to torture
me. Shut up.
Listen, I don't have...
Shut up. That's better. Now, what in thunder are you talking about?
Somebody brought him here. I put him in the cistern.
Cistern?
In Round Valley in the Willows.
Cistern in Round Valley? There ain't no such thing.
Yes, there is, in the willow thicket that runs along the bottom.
Wait a minute. Did it have a square wooden cover on it?
Yeah.
Huh.
What's that mean?
Looks like you sent Hank back to us special delivery, Ronnie.
What?
It was dry, of course, until this rainstorm. It was dry when you put him in it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You see, it ain't a cistern, Ronnie. It's an underground water flume.
What?
A water flume. Carries the water underground from the upper lake to this one. When she overflowed up above, the water just picked up Hank and delivered him right to my door. Like I said, Ronnie, sometimes it just don't pay a county sheriff to get all excited and go running over the hills. It pays to just lean back and wait. Sometimes.
Starch collar and my high top shoes and my hair piled high upon my head. I went to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead. With his light brown derby and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men. I started to yen, so I counted to ten, then I counted to ten again. Clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Thump, thump, thump went my heartstrings. When he smiled, I could feel the car shake. He tipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Pop, pop, pop went the wheels. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. As he started to go, then I started to know how it feels. When the universe screams,
the day was bright, the air was sweet, the smell of honeysuckle charmed you off your feet. You tried to sing, but couldn't squeak. In fact, you loved him so you couldn't even speak.
Buzz, 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 when the buzzer,
when the
he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand, and as if it were planned, he stayed on with me, and it was grand just to stand with his hand holding on to the end of the
world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the Tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.